How many are, by the way, how many are going to the movie today? Okay, all right. I want to say a couple of comments about the movie, and I'm not going to wait until the end. Remember, it is extremely violent. However, the people that are calling out about the violence of this movie, I didn't hear their objections to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I didn't hear their objections to the Terminator, as, you know, they just blow away people without consequence. So I find it interesting that they say that. But you need to understand, it is a depiction. It's probably not a perfect movie, but it may be the best one on film about the life of Jesus. People are not good or bad or Christian or otherwise if they go or don't go to this movie. I don't want to see that kind of polarization. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about general abroad. I hope that doesn't become a polarization, but I do hope most people are able to indeed see this movie because I think it's going to impact our culture. And in fact, I believe it has come to the kingdom for such a time as this. That's the scripture in the Old Testament. God knows what he's doing in timetable. And so the thing about the movie that you need to understand, though, and I will share a couple scriptures later, it's not as violent yet as it really was against Christ our Lord. The scripture declares, I guess I'm going to get to it right now. The scripture declares that he was not even recognizable as a man. You need to understand that. When you think the violence may get too much, understand that Jesus on the cross of Calvary was not even recognizable as a man. He had been beaten so badly. Now that's what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. The first, I'm going to read it out of the NIV. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Isaiah chapter 53 is the suffering servant chapter, describing the Messiah who would suffer. Isaiah 52, verse 14 is just before Isaiah 53. Duh, I went to school for that one. Isaiah 52, 14 out of the New Living says, many were amazed when they saw him, beaten and bloodied, so disfigured one would scarcely know he was a person. You want to hear it out of the Message? Not sure. Listen to it out of the Message. But he didn't begin that way. At first everyone was appalled. He didn't even look human. A ruined face, disfigured, past recognition. Now that's verse 14, and then it goes on to Isaiah 53, the suffering servant chapter. And if your Bible is open, I will read it as we stand here this morning. We're going to begin in verse 4 and verse 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for whose iniquities? Come on, church, say it out. Ours. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for whose peace? Ours. Come on, say it loud. For our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Verses 6 through 12. All we like sheep have gone astray. Is there anyone in this room who has never, ever, ever sinned and gone astray? Thank you. Put your hands down. You know what you're admitting to? The fact that you all need a Savior. Because a Savior comes to save from sin. Thank God that God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, if you look into transgressions and iniquities, they are subtle in their differences. One means the sins that I have committed, and one means the root of sin within my heart and spirit. We were born with a sin nature that can be dealt with by surrender to Jesus and in water baptism for circumcision of heart. We have taught those wonderful truths and experienced life in a meaningful water baptism. That doesn't mean I'm not going to go any further on that. I'm just saying that Jesus deals with sin, the root of sin, and with the sins we have done. Thank God for a thorough working Savior. Yes. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. These verses are appropriate, folks, because we're going to experience something in the Lord today, and you're going to watch this unfold, the final 12 hours. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That doesn't mean it made God the Father happy to see Jesus beat up, but it means he knew the fulfillment of what was required was taking place. He looked beyond the time Jesus was being beaten, and he saw you, and he saw you, and he saw me, and he said, if my son will go through this experience, I will liberate, I will deliver, I will have my people come back into relationship with me, because this thing called the law and legalism doesn't do it. The law, the Bible says, is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law is not bad. It just didn't work to save your soul because no man or woman could do it. Jesus fulfilled the law. He was the only righteous sacrifice, and he went to a cross because God said a perfect lamb must die. It was the remedy for sin. God said, sin brings death. Death hath passed upon all men by one man's sin, Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. Even if you think you're the nicest nice person in the world, wake up, you're a sinner. And if you didn't think so, you probably just thought a bad thought about me, and that makes you a sinner. I just proved you're guilty. Not me. You're guilty of the sin of pride right there. There you go. Okay. So the issue is God said there has to be a death, and lambs and animal sacrifices worked in the Old Testament to cover over sins so the people could get going, but nobody ever got really free from the shame, from the horror, from the travesty of what sin accomplishes in a life. Come on, you want to tell me here this morning that you have sinned and not felt shame about it? If you're that far, then you need to come to repentance. Let's get together and talk about it. I'm not here to beat you up with it. I'm just here to say Jesus Christ comes to deliver you from the shame, from the sorrow, from the grief, and from the wickedness of sin. And everybody, when you're caught in sin, come on, can't you be honest with me? You're caught in sin. You don't know how to get out. You say, oh God, my heart's breaking. This is awful. I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm guilty. I'm wrecked with guilt. Forgive me, Lord, and I can't get free. And Jesus said, yeah. He raises his arms wide on a cross. And he says, I'll free you. I'll forgive you. The sin's punishment will come on me. Bruised, beat up badly for your iniquities. Crown of thorns smashed and crammed into his head, spikes 3 inches long, shoved into his skull. Why? Because God loves people more than anything. And he'd rather die than let you go. And he spreads his arm wide, beaten, marred beyond being able to be recognized as a man for your sins and mine. And his final words on the cross are, it's finished. That means the final sacrifice just has taken place. But before he said it's finished, he said, Father, forgive them. I've been beaten beyond recognition. I'm in utter agony and pain. But I've come and I've done what you've asked me to do. So these people I love who don't love me right now can be forgiven. We are shallow people at best. Because sometimes when you ask me to forgive you, I say yes, and in my heart of hearts, don't go as thorough as I should. I'm ashamed of that. And I find myself on my knees saying, forgive me, Lord, because you forgive us utterly, wholly, fully. What a wonderful thing this forgiveness is. Let my soul out of prison. Who can forgive me this great transgression? I can't get free. God, I've done it. I know I've done it. I know I'm guilty. And if you're honest, you stand before God a guilty sinner, and I can't get free. Does that mean I'm going to go to hell? And Jesus says, no! I died for that sin. I forgive you. They laid his body in a tomb. And then he rose again. New day. New sunshine. New hope. New mercy. And the hand of a loving God reaches out his hands to you and to me. And he says, come on. Let's go to our new day. Before resurrection, there came a death. There came a Savior who bore your sins and mine, who still loves. That's the good news. You know, before you see you need a Savior, you need to see that you're a sinner. I'm not here to beat you up with sin. You do that pretty good on your own, don't you? You don't need me to beat you up. You don't need me to beat you up with sin. We can all get in the ring and defeat ourselves. Can't we? Come on. But thank God. Thank God. Our Lord said, Father, forgive them. All right. Now, there's only one thing. To make this personal, the key is in your hands. You can sit back all day long and appreciate the fact that he has forgiven and he has gone to a cross. But there comes a time where it changes from he did it for all to where it comes to he did it for me. And that key is only in your hands. And what does it take, the Bible says? If you repent of your sins and acknowledge that he is Lord, if you'll surrender your life to him and ask him to forgive you, to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, he will do just that. That's what it takes. Jesus, I am a sinner. Listen, only the most wickedly proud would ever stand and say, I've never sinned. In fact, the Bible says this one word about you, and I say it with a smile. I'm not looking at anybody. Remember, what did I say? Smile. The Bible says, if you say you have no sin, okay, I'll look at the ceiling, you're a liar. Okay. But, folks, the reality is, the honest to goodness truth and reality and wonderful thing is, you have a Savior who utterly, wholly, fully was consumed with loving his Father and loving you and me and going to a cross. Thank God. That's good news. Come on, look at each other and say, that's good news. Come on, say it, Southern. That's good news, y'all. Come on. He did it for me. Can you say that? Come on, Carol, right in the microphone.
He did it for me.
Okay, ma'am. Shh, 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 shh. This quiet, lovely lady's going to say it again.
He did it for me.
Come on, say it. He did it for me. Come on. He did it for me. Come on, say it. He did it for me. One more time. He did it for me. I don't normally mean to lie, but it just feels good when we get going, so do it again. He did it for me. Come on, One more time.
He did it for me.
Let's stand. Lord, we thank you that you did it for me. For all the me's and the me-me's in this room. We thank you that you are so good. And today, Lord, we pray that the Scripture will come alive. That's our prayer. That this will all come alive. And that as we go to this movie, we'll see unfolding and watch the Scripture take place. Bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, wounded for our transgressions, lamb dumb before the shearer. Lord, what we're really going to see is the fulfillment of your Scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son Jesus. No one took your life from you. You gave it willingly. And Jesus, you did it for me. And we are grateful. And we give you praise. And we give you thanks. Can you thank him this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. We praise you, we worship you, we adore you, we're grateful, and we pray, Lord, you will always be lifted up in the forefront of our heart. Thank you, Father, that you have forgiven us. I'm going to just read quickly the last verses of that section from Isaiah that we were reading this morning, because it finishes in an interesting way. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief, verse 10. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You know who I'm looking at this morning? His seed. I'm looking at his people, his offspring. People that prolong his days and are his pleasure. Lord, I want to be a better pleasure today than I was yesterday. But you're his seed. Thank God. Are you glad for that?
Yes.
He shall see, verse 11, the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. He's praying. He'll pray and minister to the people on the crosses next to him, and he ministered to you and me. If you're here this morning and you want someone to pray with, I'd be honored to pray with you. Come on up afterwards. If you've never given your life to Jesus, or you have and you know you're not where you belong and you want to be back right with Jesus where you belong, come on up and pray, and I'd be honored to pray with you. God is good. Amen?
Yes.
If you need healing in your body, we believe through the laying on of hands, as the Scripture declares, there is healing for his people. Come on up and we'll pray for you after the service.